move to number 9, 2021 agency request legislation. This is a briefing and a decision. Mr. McBride, nice to see you. Sorry to keep you so long, but...
It's good to see you, Mr. Chair, and all the commissioners. Luckily, this is a lot more positive and not as tough to go through on the legislative items. Just to orient you on this presentation, I'll try to make back some time for you. There's a summary sheet for four items for agency request legislation. These are four items you were briefed on at your last meeting. They haven't changed. We have the drafts and the fact sheets are in your materials. There's a second summary sheet at the back, and that's just because an item we discussed last meeting that we were waiting to hear from the Attorney General's office, they actually got back to us yesterday. So I appreciate you, Mr. Chair, allowing that to be put on as a possible item. You don't have to do that. It's awful nice if you do approve it, if you're comfortable with it, and I'll talk about it just so we can start lining people up early. So I'm going to go ahead and share my screen just to mention these items. And has it come up for you?
It is.
Okay, so this ought to look like a summary sheet. The four items that you've all heard about before, the first one is the technical corrections to the state wildlife account split. It's not substantive. It's a good little bill. It's not going to have a problem. The second item, the federal indemnification authority, this would give the commission itself the authority to approve a contract that indemnifies the federal government on fish and game major restoration projects. This is something that, say, in particular, the Army Corps of Engineers requires. There's no negotiation. And if you can't give them that authority or someone in the state, we don't get the money. So it's pretty important. The Duckabush project that you've heard a little bit about, we had a design and feasibility contract, but the next step is the project contract. Without this authority, we can't sign that contract. So there's some urgency to getting this through the legislature. Just to reassure you, it does not remove the federal agency's responsibility for their own negligence. That isn't part of what this is. It's solely about that's all they're on board for. If we want their money, they don't want to buy potential problems downstream. I noted that Commissioner Linville earlier brought up habitat. This is huge for habitat. We have $452 million worth of projects approved by Congress that we can start accessing 65% federal funding for. But you need this authority to exercise. The third item, the hunting and fishing recruitment bill, there's 10 items there listed. This is kind of the fun one to work with our partners, our users. We've already had organizations send their logos over saying, hey, make sure and put our logos onto that. We really like this proposal, Hunter's Heritage and a few others. So, and the fourth item, payment in lieu of taxes, you're all very familiar with. This is the move to make the payments through the state treasurer permanent. Commissioner Graybill asked about that. State treasurer won't ask for that funding until it's permanently in his budget. It's in his budget right now, but only as operation of the operating budget. So it expires. So these four proposals have not changed from our last discussion. And Mr. Chair, would you like to pause and deal with these now before we move on to the new item, or would you prefer me to go into that?
Hold on just a minute. We do have Commissioner Thorburn that has a comment or a question. Let's take that first, Tom.
Great. Please.
Yeah, I just would like to make the point about the indemnification proposal. Those will come before, the way the statute is written, I noticed they will come before the commission on a case-by-case basis to approve that indemnification. I just thought that was important to point out.
So absolutely. That is important because it'll be your exercise of authority. It won't be something that happens at the agency level.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Thorpe. Go ahead, Tom.
So, Mr. Chair, do you want to deal with these four first? These are the predictable ones, and then deal with the fifth?
That'd be fine. Does anyone have a motion ready?
I do. This is Jim Anderson.
Commissioner Anderson, please.
I move to approve the agency request legislation proposals as proposed by staff.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Anderson. Second?
And Smith will second.
Commissioner Smith seconds the motion. Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you. Tom, next.
So this one's kind of important. Is it showing up on your screens, the repeal of RCW Chapter 77-110?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so some of you remember this. In 1984, a Citizen Initiative 456 was passed. It was codified. Ultimately, it ended up in Chapter 77-110. There's five sections. This was controversial at the time. It's just not good law. A statute cannot override a treaty obligation. If you'll look at that's the entire chapter that would be repealed under this proposal is listed there, the five sections. If you look at 77-110-030, you will see that at the very end, there's a statement about no citizen shall be denied equal access on and on through any treaty based on the same. Well, that's actually something that happens at the federal level when you deal with the equal access and the treaty obligations. You also have a comment in here that the state is going to manage these resources alone, is the specific word used, which is not the co-manager relationship on certain fisheries. It's not good law. It needs to be repealed. The only reason we waited on this was I thought it made sense for the Attorney General's office as the state's legal counsel, the Department of Fish and Wildlife as the co-manager, to jointly ask for this from the legislature and just say it's not operative, it's not lawful, it needs to be repealed. It's pretty familiar ground for me. There's no real fish hooks here other than, you know, who knows what happens sometimes with the legislature. But I think it'd be important to remove this. It's bad law. A state statute cannot amend a treaty. That's been settled by the U.S. Supreme Court for a long time. So this would be a motion to joint with the Attorney General, and Attorney General Ferguson wants to do this jointly with the commission, ask the legislature to repeal these five sections. And are there any questions?
This is Commissioner Anderson.
Yeah, this is Jim Anderson. It's very interesting and something that I followed for 36 years. And so in my previous life, it was 456 was being passed as I began work at the Northwest Indian Fisheries Commission. And that was exactly the point that the tribes tried to make, that Citizen Initiative from the state of Washington could not abrogate treaty rights. And so this is apropos. And when the time comes, I'd be interested in making the motion.
The question I have, Tom, does the Attorney General's office need a commission involvement on something like this? Or is it just, I don't know, can you explain that? I think they can do it without us, right?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, they certainly could. And if you decided not to, they probably would. Since they decided to go forward, we actually brought the issue forward to them and thought that there might be some clarity in front of the legislature with the state's legal advisor saying this isn't good law and the state's co-manager stating denying that we co-manage doesn't make sense either. So it was viewed as a positive to have you guys working together. But like I said, you don't have to act. It's more if you want to act. And I would recommend you do it. It's a real straightforward analysis that the statute doesn't actually apply to legally in Washington or anywhere in the country, but up to you.
No, I just wanted to get the linkage there. So it looks like we got Commissioner Kehoe and then Commissioner Linville, and I see Joe Pinesco's face.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have been aware of this statute, and quite frankly, I'm surprised it's taken so long for us to initiate some sort of action to remove it from the RCW. So my question, though, is given that this was passed as an initiative, what are the kind of requirements to legislatively overturn? I mean, do we need a straight majority, or is there something kind of a supermajority required to overturn an initiative?
Great, great question, Commissioner Kehoe. Initiatives are protected for 2 years where you need a supermajority vote by the legislature to repeal or amend them. This initiative would just be simple majority, 25 votes in the Senate and 50 votes in the House. So no extra obligation for the legislature.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Linville, and then I think Commissioner Thorburn and Commissioner Anderson again.
So I just kind of want to be a little bit candid on here. I feel a little bit nervous about this because I don't really know that I understand all the implications behind this. I'm gaining some confidence hearing my fellow commissioners speak about this, but I just want to be clear that I do not feel I'm concerned about voting because I do not feel well educated about this at this moment. And that's more of a statement than a question, but I just kind of wanted you all to know where I'm at on this as the junior commissioner.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Limwell. Commissioner Thorburn?
I just wanted to point out that another reason that I support being one of the agencies that brings forward, or the commission that brings this bill forward, is that a law was put in our chapter, in the department's chapter, Chapter 77. So it basically is a law guiding us. And I have to say, I'm very uncomfortable with this law. There have been two recent Supreme Court decisions that have reaffirmed that states cannot abrogate treaty rights on their own. There was the Wyoming case with the Hunter. There was just the Oklahoma case with law enforcement. I mean, it comes up. And it's always upheld in the court. So this basically is a law that breaks federal law from my standpoint.
Okay, before we go back, I think Commissioner Anderson wishes to make a motion. Joe Pinesco, did you desire to comment?
I can just add one really brief comment. These statutes... or one of the statutes in this chapter that were enacted through the 1984 initiative did come up in one court of appeals case where a fishing group challenged the department's action where treaty tribes were allowed to engage in the herring spawn on kelp fishery, but the state shut down the state side and the commercial fishers invoked the statute saying, the state can't allow a treaty tribe to fish where we can't because that violates the statute. And the Court of Appeals looked at the statute and says, the tribes have a treaty right. They can do that. And there's no violation by the state. But it didn't expressly say that the statute was unconstitutional. So it still remains on the books. Even if the court had said it was unconstitutional, that does not actually remove statutes from the books. So the one case that's touched this fully supports the action that both our office and Fish and Wildlife are contemplating, you know, asking the legislature to formally remove this.
Okay. If there's no other questions, I think Commissioner Anderson wanted the floor.
Yes, and if you could scroll to the motion section, Tom, that'd be great. So I'll preface this with, you know, it'd be our motion as Fish and Wildlife Commission and to bring it to the legislature, and it'd be their decision on how to deal with this. So with that, I move to approve the agency request legislative proposal as proposed by staff to be jointly pursued with the Attorney General's office.
Okay, we have a commotion. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Commissioner Thorburn, second. Okay. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carries.